Let's jump in the scripture a moment this evening. Psalm 111. And I won't get all this said tonight. Let's see what the Lord have us give to you for just a moment. Willing and able, if you want to stand with us, we'll read these 10 verses. Had a good time in this psalm last Wednesday night. Lord, let us learn some things. Excite our heart over the Lord Jesus. I'm as excited about Jesus. Amen. I'm as excited about Jesus. I've been saved now a pretty good amount of years, coming up on 28 years. I've been saved, and I'm more excited about being saved. I'm more excited about the Savior. Amen. I'm talking about I get elated, not just around here singing about Him and preaching about Him. When I'm all alone, Brother Jack, it's just Him and I. Some days I get so overwhelmed by His presence and His goodness and work in my life that I'm telling you, I about can't stand it some days. And me and Sister Marcia's brother was talking, her baby brother, he's a Christian, was talking just a little bit ago. And now I'm still glad to be alive and around my family and around you tonight. But there's a part of Brother David going on to heaven this afternoon I'm a little bit jealous of. Amen. Amen. And one of these days I'm going to get to go. And until then, I've got a job to do, and I want to serve my Savior, Jesus Christ, with all my might. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited. If I don't get to go to heaven tonight, I'm still excited. I get to know Him, talk to Him, fellowship with Him, and serve Him in these days. Let's see if we can hit a lick on that this evening out of this psalm. Notice again how it starts, praise ye the Lord. Literally, it is that word from heaven. It goes beyond the Hebrew word. It is heaven's word. It's that word, hallelujah, hallelujah. David starts his psalm simply saying, hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord a little while. He said, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He hath showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. I love verse 9. He sent redemption unto His people. He had commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise, His psalm began with praise, and it ends saying, His praise endureth forever. You can be seated this evening. We begun last week this psalm. We just kind of backed up a little bit and kind of dealt with the psalm as a whole, but we believe Psalm 111 likely is the psalm of David. Some would say maybe it's written by a Levite after the Babylonian captivity. Maybe that's so. I don't know. There's a lot of debate about it. And we understand the background of this psalm is unknown as well. And so we don't know all the circumstances, but this much we know: the theme of this psalm deals with praise. It's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm that's one of the hallelujah psalms or Hallel psalms. And is known as one of several psalms that is known as alphabetical psalms as they are structured. This one in particular, Psalm 112, our next one will be another one. And they're structured with 22 lines, each beginning in the Hebrew, with a letter in order from the Hebrew alphabet. And so we declared that on last week that most of your commentaries and most of your people that you would go listen to, maybe they'd have preached Psalm 111, they would say, well, that is just to make it easy on the Jews to memorize this psalm. But this is not David, we said last week, using some poetical trick, but rather remembering that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so it's the Holy Ghost that led this psalm to be penned that way. We may not see it in our English King James Bible, but we believe that no doubt the Holy Ghost wants us to memorize the Word of God. Amen. And we don't have to have it in alphabetical order, Brother Larry, to memorize this psalm, and it would do us well to do that. But beyond that, there's no doubt in my mind that the Holy Ghost is reminding us that Christ literally is the Alpha, the Omega. He is the Aleph and the Tav. He is all the alphabet. As the alphabet are letters that form words, and words form sentences, and sentences form a revelation of communication. And everything that God wants us to know, we know it through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the wisdom of God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is the wisdom of eternal life. He is the way to God. And so we're thankful tonight God has communicated that through His Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And without a doubt, we find Him in every line and in every verse of Psalm 111, and particularly, we'll see in time to come, Psalm 112, as He is that righteous man fulfilling all the law of God for you and me. And so this is a psalm. This is a psalm that magnifies the Savior. And in particular, it is a psalm of praise. Praise ye the Lord. David, I believe, says in reminding us this is a psalm of praise. And so David said, we'll look at it tonight, verse number 1. We won't get out of that. I can feel it already. But Brother Riley, he said, I will praise the Lord. And so David said, what I want and am calling others to do, we'll see tonight. David said, I will not just leave it in your lap to do. I will lead you in it, and I will praise the Lord. Amen. And so when we look at this, it is a psalm of praise. Notice with me in verse number 2, we'll lift our thought here with this idea of praise. And we'll connect it to verse number 2 and begin our study verse by verse through this psalm. He said here, the works of the Lord are great. And David's going to say a lot in this psalm, Brother Maurice, about the works and the work and the wonders and the word of Almighty God. He's going to brag upon the things that God has done, is doing, and shall do. Amen. And so he's focusing in upon the work and works of God. He is saying here, notice in verse number 2, about these works. He said, sought out of all them, that is the works that have pleasure therein, the works of God. And so there's a declaration that opens verse number 2 that the works of the Lord are great. But then he makes an application to our life that we ought to be seeking out. We ought to be looking around with eyes wide open. We ought to be observing in our life and in the life of others. We ought to be surveying the society and the environment in which we live to find where God is working. And we ought to derive our pleasure as the children of God from the fact that our God is not a God that is in some closet somewhere. That our God is in some far distant land somewhere. Our God is not in some far distant planet on some far distant galaxy that is uninterested in you and I. But thank God He is my friend working, and His works are great. David said there ought to be something in those that know God that are seeking out and observing and viewing and watching for how God is working all around them. And in doing that, as we see where God is working, Brother Mike, we ought to take pleasure therein. Where we see God, I'm about to have a spell. Brother Mark, where we see God working, ought to derive pleasure in our heart to know that God is working about us. That word and that phrase, have pleasure therein, it means to delight in. David said we ought to be delighting in the fact that God's works are great, and that we can view that, we can sense that, and we can know that even in our own life. What do you delight in tonight? Do you delight in seeing God work? Do you delight in watching God hear and answer your prayer? Do you delight in this psalm, he talks about the Lord giving meat, giving food, putting food on the table. Has it ever dawned on you? Have you ever delighted in the fact that it's God and God working in your life that has provided everything you and I have? Amen. It means to delight in. It means to incline toward. To have pleasure therein, the works of God that we see, and we are inclined to that. We are drawn to seeing God work. Oh, how we need the Lord to work. I think of what David said in Psalm 119. It is time, O Lord, it is time for thee to work. I think about throughout the Word of God and the different saints of the Lord that we read about. In days gone by, how they desired to know and to see the mighty and the wonderful and the good and the glorious and the great work of God about them. Why? Because they had pleasure. Their pleasure was not derived from riches. Their pleasure was not derived from a job promotion. Their pleasure was not derived from some worldly realm of entertainment. Their pleasure was found in knowing that God was working in their life. They were inclined toward that. This is phrased to have pleasure therein. That is in the great works that, as you go on to describe it, the honorable work and the glorious work and the righteous work and the wonderful work and the gracious work and the full of compassion work that God is doing, the power of His work and the work of His hands and the verity of His work and the trueness of His work and the faithfulness of His work. This idea that we find pleasure therein in those things signifies that we are esteeming God's work in our life a very valuable thing. Now, I got news for you. Left to myself, I ain't got sense enough to get out the rain. I've been educated. I have learned some things along the way. And can I tell you, education is not what I count to be valuable. Right. Amen. Enlightenment is not what I count to be a valuable thing. Right. But the value of my life can be esteemed. What I find the most value out of is looking around in my life and every season of my life and every strain of my life, every battle of my life, every blessing of my life, every valley of my life, every mountaintop of my life, on and on we can describe the different variances of our life. But to look around and to watch God working in my life is a valuable thing to me. Amen. You can have all the money. Say, when I give you $1 million, or you can see God continue to work in your life. You can have your money, just let God keep working in my life. I value that beyond anything you could measure in this earthly realm. By the way, I'll go on record tonight and say God's been good to me. I'm glad I can look around and find pleasure in how God has worked in my life. There's some things God has done. And so we have this idea throughout the psalm, a praising of the Lord, but it's very intentional. It's very intentional praise. It is very direct praise in the sense that it praise is being motivated by me valuing what God is doing in my life. It's the thought I want to give you out of Psalm 111. Here's what we're preaching on, praising the Lord for what He's done in your life. So I don't know if God's done anything within. Either you're blind or you're unperceptive or you do not know God. Amen. I want to say tonight that God has been doing, God has done, is doing, and I can't help but believe by faith in what I know about Him from His Word that He will continue to do some work in my life. There are things that I can look back on. There are things I can look on now that the Lord is worthy to be praised for. And we ought to praise the Lord for what He's done in our life. Seek it out and open your eyes and get a hold of a spiritual realm and dimension. You say, but preacher, I ain't got any more money in the bank than I had a year ago. I'm not talking about money in the bank. I'm talking about the things that you look at your life and you say, only God could have done this. Only God could have created that. Only God could have saved and delivered that. And surely tonight, if we're saved and we know God, we can look around and praise Him for what He's done in our life. Prayers answered. Already mentioned that. Prayers answered. Bills paid. Peace when your life should have been in turmoil. Grace to strengthen you when you were weak in mind and in heart and maybe even in body. And then physical healings in ways that God has met with us and the spiritual riches that we have in Christ, whereby we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. And what a work, the greatest of wonders was the day, if you're saved, that He saved your soul. That was not the work of man. Man ain't saved by his works. And the declaration of the Apostle Paul is that you have been saved by grace through faith, and only grace through faith could you have been saved. And he would go on to say it was not of works, that is your own works. It was the work of Almighty God in your life. If you can praise God for anything tonight, we all ought to be able to praise Him for what He's done in salvation. We'll find that in the psalm in a week coming up. But valuing what God has done. God done anything for you? Tell me about it. Has God answered any prayers? Has God worked in your life? How could God be working in our life and we never praise Him? This psalm then reminds us. Now listen to what I'm going to say tonight. This psalm reminds us to praise God, not just for who He is, but for what He's done. I've said it, I've prayed it, and there are times where you're in such a dire place that if you're going to praise God, you have to praise Him for who He is, because you don't see the way He's working, even though He may be working, and you just praise Him for who He is, and that is in order. There are some people, Brother A.L., they try to sound super spiritual. We don't praise God for what He's done. We praise Him for who He is. Well, you have a hard time with Psalm 111 because it is a psalm about praising God, not just for who He is, but for what He's done. I'm glad in the Amen. And don't y'all forget, next month's my birthday now. I'll be 45. Is that right? 45. Amen. Don't you forget, 45 years of being on this earth. Amen. There are 45 years of God moving and working and working and moving and doing great things and wonderful things. And God ought to be praised for everything He's done. Amen. Notice in this psalm, I see the call to praise the Lord for what He's done in your life. Notice how the psalm begins again, praise ye the Lord. Don't be silent. If God has worked, if the Lord is working and has done things in your life, do not remain silent. Do not sit there upon your hands. Don't count it as a casual thing, as though it's just the mundane and there's nothing exciting. David said, if God has done anything in your life, praise ye the Lord. It's a call to praise the Lord. So many tonight, they seem to have been put to sleep by the world and by their religiosity. And I want to tell you tonight, a child of God who has been born again ought to have something on the inside they can identify with the call to simply say, I must praise the Lord for what He's done in my life. There is a call tonight that rings out. And though I know David is the human author and believe him to be the human author, it goes beyond David, and the Holy Ghost says, the pen and the hand and the writing upon the parchment by David, inspired of the Holy Ghost, and God is calling us to praise Him for what He's done. What ought that praise to look like? Well, I'll tell you what it ought not look like is sitting on your hands with your lip pooched out. No. Here's what it ought to look like. Let me give it to you out of verse number 1. Y'all want this? There is a call to praise personally. Praise ye the Lord is the call, but watch what David said. I will praise. Do you see that it is a personal? I can't sit back and wait on everybody else to do it. I must take my own personal responsibility before God, value what He has done in my life, to be excited about what He's done in my life, to be moved and inclined and to delight and to have pleasure in that, to the degree that I ain't just going to be satisfied. Listen, Brother Larry, brag on the Lord. Amen. God ain't just done things for Larry Jenkins. He's done things for me. And so as He has moved and worked in my life personally, I ought to praise Him personally. Amen. I'm not going to wait for you to praise my Lord over what He's done in my life. Jesus said, if you don't praise the Lord for what the Lord has done, He said, the Father raise up the rocks and they'll praise Him in your place. I don't want no rocks doing my praising. Rocks ain't experiencing had God do for them what God has done for me. And we must understand there is a call to praise personally. When's the last time you personally praised the Lord? It is a call to praise the Lord personally for what He's done in your life. It is a call to praise God purposefully for what He's done in your life. Notice the wording now. I will praise. David said that this business of praising God is. It shouldn't be so attached to my feelings that my feelings dictate whether or not I do it. It is a matter of my will. It is a matter of my determination. I must arise, and no matter what, I think we can put it this way. I will means I will if the sun's is shining or it's dark outside. I will whether or not there's a storm wind blowing or not. I will do it purposefully. And no matter what's going on around me, it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. I will. And this is praise that is done purposefully. I don't praise tonight over who's in the White House. No matter to me who's in there now, who'll be in the next time. And that does not, and I know it matters, but it doesn't matter to my praise. If you can't praise when a Democrat's in the White House, then you got bad spiritual issues. I can praise, it don't matter. And y'all know I ain't for none of the outfit. Amen. Far as I'm concerned, they've all lost their ever-loving minds. Amen. I don't praise because of a president. I praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. David said over and over in the Psalms, I will, I will, I will. There's sometimes you've got to will yourself to do it and go beyond your emotion and beyond the circumstance, understanding nobody has ever praised God by accident. You ain't ever praised God by accident. You know when you praise God? When you got up and said, He's worthy of my praise. I can't believe somebody like Him, as high and holy, and He would do anything for somebody like me who is so wicked and lowly. I must praise Him and do it on purpose. You say, I don't feel like it. That's probably when you need the purpose to do it the most. I heard Brother Joe Arthur say, I wasn't even saved. And I don't know why, Brother Jack, I don't know why the Holy Ghost stuck it in my heart even before I got saved. Heard Joe Arthur say, if you don't feel like praising Him, just start praising Him until you do feel like it. Yeah, man, I wasn't even saved. I didn't even understand all that. Do you know what I understand tonight? Hey, man, if you don't feel like praise Him anyway. And you'll be amazed if you'll do it on purpose. There'll be something on the inside begin to churn and turn it and move in your life. And before you know it, you may even start enjoying it before it's over. Amen. Personally, praise personally, praise purposefully. Notice with me, praise persistently. I will praise. I will praise. This word praise means I'll praise Him right now, and I'll praise Him in a moment. I'll praise Him today, and I'll praise Him tomorrow. I'll praise Him when I'm up, and I'll praise Him when I'm down. Hallelujah. In other words, it ought to be something that has a consistency in our life. Nothing is more discouraging as a pastor and maybe even as a child of God than to watch the yo-yo Christians who are up and down it, and they're down more than they're up it. And when everything's good, whoa, hallelujah, let me tell you how good God is. But when they're struggling, they're miserable, and they make everybody else around them miserable. Amen. What is that? That is a lacking of a persistent praise. I'm not belittling. We all can have a pity party. I can throw a bigger, sadder one than anybody. Somebody say amen. I didn't mean it, Riley. Amen. I can and you can. But that ought to be the exception, not the rule. Amen. Persistent praise is a testimony that no matter what you're going through, you still value what God has done in your life. I value what He's done. Can I just say right here, if He never does another thing,
if he never moves his hand upon my life again, if he never answers another prayer, oh, I'm about to run. He has done, and he has been more persistent in my life and consistent in my life. He's been more than faithful to me. He's been more than good to me. And if I praised him just over what he's done in my life, I'd have to praise him every moment of every day of the rest of my life and then for all of eternity. He has been that good, and I value what he's done that much. How in the world can I be the yo-yo? I want to be persistent, David said. I'll praise personally and purposefully and persistently. Notice what he said. I like this phrase. He said, with my whole heart. If you're taking notes, write it down on your paper. At least get it in your heart. And this is a call to praise the Lord passionately for what he's done. I believe that if we will understand how unworthy we are of God working in our life, the more we sense our own unworthiness and yet the reality of him working, the more passionate our praise would become. Let me illustrate it from the Lord's earthly life and ministry. When the woman came in toward the end of the Lord's life, he's getting ready to go to the cross to die for our sins. Amen. There in the house of Simon, the Pharisee and the leper, man who had been a leper, had been cleansed. He's throwing a party, and Christ is there. They're feasting and celebrating, and all that would go on in that household. In the middle of all the crowd, in the middle of whoever, all the who's who's and the rabbis and all the, amen, all the big wigs and all the intellectuals and all those that showed up, everybody thought a lot of. There's a woman made her way there through all of that to find the Lord Jesus and began. The Bible said she broke open an alabaster box and began to anoint the feet of the Lord Jesus and began to weep at his feet and to wash his feet with her tears and dry his feet with the hairs of her head. And Simon gets indignant about that. And accuses the Lord as though he can't believe that the Lord would allow such a woman to touch him. Jesus was no friend of the Pharisees. Everybody look here, let me get it on recording on live stream. Jesus was not a friend to the Pharisees. They hated his guts, they killed him. His strongest rebukes were not to the Gentiles. They were not to the sinners. And they were not to the down and out and the poor and the common man. His strongest rebukes were to the Pharisees. You'll be hard-pressed to find a harder, stern rebuke than what he gave to Simon the leper, that old, dirty, rotten Pharisee. He looked and he said, let me tell you something, Simon. Those who have been forgiven much, love much. You don't like the passion that she has in what she's done. She didn't care what you thought. She didn't care, amen, you thought she was getting too loud and out of control. And she didn't care because she wasn't doing it for Simon. She wasn't doing it for accolades. She wasn't doing it for attention. She was doing it because there was a passion on the inside of her that said, I'm willing to let all that I possess be returned to his feet. I'm willing to give him my all. I'm willing to be embarrassed. I'm willing to be in the dirt. I'm willing to lay at his feet because I am passionate about what he's done in my life. Tell you why, and you can get mad, you can like it, get mad, shout or pout. Tell you why,
Most people's praise, if they have any at all, is so casual. Comes back to not understanding how valuable that God would ever do anything for you at all. We're not merit mongers. We're not supposed to be merit mongers. God don't owe me nothing. Bible said God's a debtor to no man. Amen. He don't owe me nothing. But you know what James said? James said, don't forget it now, child of God. Every good gift and every perfect gift, where did it come from? It came from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. And I'm telling you, God has been good to me. And God's ways in my life and God's work in my life has been perfect. I want to be passionate about praising Him. Amen. And if my passion is measured by a value I put upon what God has done in my life, buddy, I'm telling you, I ought to be so blown up tonight with excitement. Putting my whole heart into giving Him the praise that is due His name. Amen. I ought not have to be pumped and primed and pushed. Amen. Somebody said, well, sing up the praise out of them. If you can sing it up out of somebody, you can sing it down out of them. Bob, that crowd can sing, can praise when a song's been sung. They can't take 5 minutes of preaching. You know why? Their whole heart ain't in it. Oh boy, I gotta go. Amen. Praise persistently. Praise purposefully. Praise personally. Praise passionately. You say, number whatever, I'm on letter E on my outline. Y'all ready for this? Praise the Lord purely for what He's done in your life. Say, where you get that from? Look at the verse. In the assembly of the upright. Those that are living an upright, not a downright, but an upright life. David said, it's the children of God who are interested in living right. We would call it tonight holiness. Living by God's holy standard. Living by righteous standard and righteous precepts that, my friend, we have been called by God and called on by Christ to live by. In this idea, well, you can be saved and live any old way you want to. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter number 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is a reason to step it up. Salvation is not me, my friend, being able to say, when I die, I'm going to heaven anyway. It don't matter how I live in this life. Salvation ought to motivate, yea, inspire us to live a pure life. Amen. In the assembly of the upright. I got news for you. Even in the Old Testament, they believed the church and the assembly and the meeting of God's people ought to be an upright place. Oh boy. I know what's in some churches. We ain't perfect here tonight, but we do try to hold each other accountable. If I get out of line, you got every right to say, you ought not be going to that honky-tonk. Amen. If my life is out of sorts with what God has said in His Word, then you as a member of this church, as a part of the assembly of the upright, ought to hold one another accountable. I don't know why. As a pastor, you kind of know where people are. And it has always amazed me. People that I knew had issues spiritually in their life.
didn't read their Bible, didn't pray, didn't talk with God, didn't study. Problems with pornography and pride and all sorts of other perils. In a service, they're oftentimes the first ones that stand up and go, I just want to praise the Lord. I ain't got the boldness just yet, Brother Joe, to say shut up and sit down until you get a pure life. That too tough? It would be tough, wouldn't it? Y'all want to see that happen one day? Say, I'll never stand up. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm just telling you, if you think you're going to live any old way you want, drink your moonshine and your Budweiser, run around on your wife, let me just praise the Lord, know what you need to do. Amen. Maybe get saved, get born again, get a new clean heart on the inside. Get saved and right with God, and then you'll really be able to praise God. I didn't say praise Him perfectly, but there ought to be a desire in your heart and mind to praise Him purely. Here's what David said twice in the Psalms. He said about worship, specifically worship, we'll use that, and I know they're different, but just hang with me. He said, worship the Lord in the what? Beauty of holiness. That's what your King James Bible said. The beauty of holiness. God is interested in His people having a pure life. Pure lips, pure eyes, pure hands, pure feet, pure heart, pure spirit. Amen. If you're going to praise the Lord, there's a call to praise the Lord for what He's done in our life. By the way, after all He's done, surely the least we could do is be pure in our life praising Him. And let me say last of all, it's a call to praise the Lord publicly for what He's done in your life. Notice the verse again. In the assembly, there's a connection to, it's not just privately, and I believe you ought to praise God privately. Amen. And if you don't praise Him privately and then you just come in the church and praise Him publicly, then I will tell you you are doing it to make a show. Amen. If you don't get overwhelmed and praise Him riding down the road every now and then, and then you praise Him in the house of God, you're just a show pony. You've learned how to walk the dog and trot the pony and make a religious show. Amen. But let me get some of you others, if all you do is praise Him in private and never in public, you're as wrong as the other crowd. God done anything for you? This assumes David spent time at the house of God. I get humored. I get all kinds of, I got to be careful. I get all kinds of correspondence trying to tell me how I ought to preach and how our church ought to do from people who don't go to church. Why in the world would I listen to anybody who don't go to church?
Amen.
And I humor some of them, most of them, they don't even realize how confused they are. Amen. But if you're going to fulfill God's command to praise Him publicly, you got to show up the congregation faithfully.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. So why when we sing, I don't whisper while we sing. I try to sing as loud as I can. And that's just me. You ain't got to do it how I do it. That's why when we sing Sweet Hour Prayer and we get to that line of the first verse that bids me at my Father's throne. I know what that song is talking about. I know that it has been there that God has done some of His greatest works in my life. I can't help but just lift my hand in praise to God. Why? What is the tears and what is the testimonies and what is the hand raises and what is the hallelujahs and the amens and the bless the Lords and what is all of this? It's people that understand we have a call to publicly praise God for what He has done in our life. In the congregation. I ain't talking about people who can't be in church because of physical ailments. Amen. Hey, some can't be. They're true shut-in people. And our heart, and most of that crowd, they would give their right arm to sit where you sit tonight. Brother David Madrinsky, all he's talked about since they put him in UT to get him ready for his surgery. Pastor, I just want to get well enough I can get back to church. Pastor, I miss church. I miss hearing the choir sing. I miss hearing Sister Candy on the piano. And I miss the fellowship and I miss the camaraderie. And I don't know why he would say this. I miss hearing you preach, Pastor. He'd say, if God would just touch me enough so I could get back to church. He said, I want to get in there and lift my hand and praise the Lord. I know it's Wednesday. I know we're tired. We've worked today and we've had burdens to bear. But some of y'all walked in them doors tonight and it never crossed your mind all day. I get to go to church and I get to praise the Lord. I seen something the other day somewhere. And y'all understand, I'm as far from contemporary as you can get. We ain't bringing fog machines and strobe lights in this place. I can't stand that junk. Amen. If this church ever turns that way, you'll have to throw me out on the highway. And I'm against all that. Can I get an amen right there? I ain't interested in that. Praise teams. Women with their painted on britches. Up gyrating around trying to get us to think about God. Amen. These mop heads. These men with their shirts unbuttoned and up there got the little necklace on, the little hairs hanging out their chest. Bebopping around on a keyboard trying to get me to get my focus on the Lord. I ain't going that route. I ain't going that route. Amen. Not on your life am I going that route. But a lot of people's worried about that. And they are so bored out of their mind when they're in church. Everybody look up here. That's just as wrong as that liberal crowd going contemporary. There's a call tonight. And it ain't the call just of your pastor. It ain't the call of King David. It's the call of the Holy Ghost. Has God done anything for you? Can you see Him working and have worked in your life? Praise ye the Lord. He's worthy. That's valuable. If you'll get a hold of how valuable that is. Say, Lord, help me to live what pastors just showed. That's just one verse, and we won't take one verse a week, Brother Larry, I promise. Bob will get through it next week, okay? I'm telling you tonight, somebody needs to praise God for what He's done in your life. Amen.